Greetings, Stanford, teachers, students, alumni, whoever's listening. This is Jesse Gilbert, a.k.a. General Hakan, from Berkeley, California. The pro-cannabis intergalactic travels brand ambassador for the WOW Space Fleet. So I'm specifically addressing people involved in Stanford law because Stanford has the highest level of reputation for law and was the place where the development of Google came out of. And American society is such, and you know this very well, if you go to Stanford, you are looked up to as prestigious and on the up and up and intelligent because you studied hard in school and you got the scores in grades and SATs required to get into Stanford, and you're paying out all that money. So honestly, I've never been to Stanford. I can't judge it one way or the other. I have my opinions, but I don't really know everything. I don't claim to know everything, but I do know this. Space race and intellectual property law, space race and legal battles is the most, it's lethal isn't even the word. The economics of space travel, it's frightening stuff because it's not a game where everybody's equal and everybody wins. I don't know what Kool-Aid you drank or what propaganda you looked at with, you know, every Mexican kid in the ghetto is going to get on board and go travel to Mars and it's going to be affordable. No. It's economics and physics and gravity most certainly does not work that way. But space travel is definitely possible. You know, you've seen ships flying around the stratosphere in supersonic jets, and you've seen them roaring through. If you've seen like the Blue Angels, it's aerospace engineering is breathtaking, impressive stuff. And I like beautiful things too. Yeah, I have to admit. And I think WOW should appeal to people who like beautiful things and quality engineering. The combination of the wolf, the owl, and the wow factor for next generation aerospace should be, you know, right on the radar of people with intelligent people with disposable income who want the best combination of fair market value for things like personal luxury aircraft, which are definitely possible. I mean, you've seen Elon Musk, you know, and they're designing the VTOLs. And with the Tesla batteries, yeah, you can bet a vertical takeoff ship is like 10,000 times more intelligent than these runway launch gasoline ships, right? If you can do a VTOL vertical takeoff, you don't even need a frickin' runway. You can have the thing in your garage and just have the top of the garage open up and you can just like levitate right out of there. Now, in the past, you know, some technologies, yeah, I'll mention it, they used helium. Now, helium might not be realistic for modern VTOL technology, but at the same time, it actually still could be applicable. Helium is dirt cheap and abundant. And there is so much lifting weight in helium that I'm not saying this is the exact design, but, you know, the auto yurt, which can fit right on top of your owls, your WOW's luxury aircraft, can use helium to take you up to the stratosphere and then just set using the Owl Intelligence AI Super Glide SX features to to just guide you, GPS guide you to your destination. This GPS navigation is all handled already. Automatic driving and GPS is all handled, and it's all logistically sound, even for flights for personal luxury aircraft, okay? You have to be a total idiot to think that F-35s are cool. I repeat, you have to be a total fucking clueless idiot to think that F-35s are cool when GPS-enabled personal luxury aircraft that can cyber attack and annihilate F-35s with strafing pneumatics air cannons can be had at a whole lot less of the cost, okay? The F-22 Raptors and those Falcon things and the F-35s cannot and do not compete with the WOWLs in aerospace. Artificial intelligence rocks aerospace. AI rocks aerospace. It's not only artificial intelligence, ding, 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 winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's animal intelligence also, okay? You're getting artificial intelligence and animal intelligence and human intelligence in this brand. So tell me I'm talking to somebody intelligent here at Stanford. Tell me you understand that the F-35 is a flying piece of shit, obsolete over a decade ago, and that the WOWLs VTOL ships can be had at an affordable price. So you and your friends and or your family and any other loved ones can have your own personal canine-themed ship. Yes, you can choose and customize your personal combo between which breed of canine and which breed of owl you want. And on the top of your ship will be the auto yurt. So like picture a Mongolian longbow. I don't know if you've ever seen them, like how they're shaped and curved, but it'll be set on top of the aircraft for aerodynamics. And that's kind of how the auto yurt system fits in. It's like a stealth encampment system. So, you know, you want to, wherever you want to go, you want to go to Alaska, you want to go to Argentina, you know, you want to start your own tech business and run it from a remote place in the world where you can get favorable like land use options and, you know, maybe not have to deal with certain segments and sectors of society you find distasteful, like, you know, like niggers and faggots and kikes and white trash, whoever you dislike, you can get away from them. You can get your distance. You can get your personal space and you can do it affordably. And you can use Brainstorm Pro to build your own business interests. And yes, outer space travel. Definitely space travel in your WOWLs canine-themed personal luxury aircraft. For yourself, you know, you can fly your lone wolf. We can have a lone wolf model, your friends. And yes, you can definitely smoke cannabis on board. You know, hemp thermoplastics are superior engineering technology, and hemp was perfectly legal in the early, you know, founding days of America. It was actually required. Hemp is great business, but it's been, you know, illegally outlawed and defamed by white trash propagandists and Jew trash propagandists and an assorted vermin. But you can be sure these spaceships can be made out of cannabis and accommodate onboard cannabis smoking. So, you know, if you want to fly around the world in your personal luxury aircraft and smoke weed and set the thing on autopilot and, you know, kick it with your friends and party, this is the definite brand you want. Alcohol, however, no. It is not safe to, you know, you could probably drink alcohol when it's on autopilot, but, you know, you probably don't want to be getting stupid and stumbling and, like, tripping when you're drunk and like falling on to the, you know, autopilot mechanisms. You're not going to do that if you're stoned on cannabis. You're just going to, you know, step away from the autopilot system. But if you're drunk, you might get a stupid idea and interfere with the autopilot system. So, you know, it's your choice. It's your privacy. These are your own personal luxury aircraft that you can own. And yeah, space travel. Serious, unbelievably serious stuff. You're a student of law. You know that when people lose legal battles, other people end up with lethal injections and getting electrocuted, as in pumped full of $6 of electricity, Texas style. Yeah, law is kind of real. But people these days, you know, they treat it like a game. I don't know what's going through their minds when they engage in hardcore legal fraud, that it's just a game and that, like, reputation doesn't matter in the bigger picture and that, you know. Somebody once told me about the diamond business. You can steal once in the diamond business and get away with it, but after that, you're done. Meaning you can't do like a damn thing. And it, yeah, so let's talk about the real stakes of space travel, okay? The real economics and stakes of space travel. Now, if you studied anything about the history of like technology and potential UFOs, or like aliens visiting the planet, some of the early communications technology, if I do recall, I read somewhere that somebody found like something off of a spaceship that was a prototype for microchips. Spaceships come down to, in a major way, communications technology, high-speed communications technology. You know, the ability to coordinate with multiple beings, whether it's through voice or email or what have you. So that's, you know, computers aren't just aerospace technology. They're communications technology. They're coordination. Yeah, duh. What do you think the internet was about? It was about coordinating for nuclear warfare. Sending email messages around, right? We're in a space race with nuclear weapons. Japanese got annihilated with nuclear weapons in World War II. And it was in large part due to, you know, like physics and Einstein and also communications technology. You know, it's probably not pleasant getting hit with a nuclear weapon in real deal combat. And if you think that law practice is not real deal combat, when death penalties, lethal injections, prison rapes, murders by corrupt police, and when everything else is, you know, on the table, if you think it's not something with real stakes, it's not the field for you to be in. Walk away. Walk the fuck away. You don't want to get involved in legal fraud and the repercussions if you do not treat it seriously. What do you really, really, really think is going on in the high realms of science, technology, and law? Things like the CERN, nuclear reactor, nuclear programs, nuclear waste, nuclear energy, nuclear contaminations, lawsuits over cancer, death of millions of human beings on the line in legal proceedings. Death by nuclear radiation. Exploding aircraft in war. Nuclear bombs hitting armies in nuclear conflict. Nuclear torpedoes being launched out of submarines and, you know, hitting other people and whatever, firing through the water. You know, all these things, enormous submarines made out of metal, manned with hundreds or even thousands of sailors, navigating around in the seas strategically. This is the field of law you're involved in, like hardcore naval law, right? like nuclear torpedoes. If you get nailed with a nuclear torpedo legal strategy, you're nailed by a nuclear bomb equivalent. What do you think space race technology is? Do you think it's any less sophisticated than actual nuclear bombs? Do you think losers in space race legal battles just get to go on universal basic income for 1,000 cyber credits per month and get to start over again and try to rebuild their base, their spaceship and reputation and, you know, get to Mars? Uh-uh. Reputation doesn't work like that. You can go ahead and defame people all you want. You can probably get away with it for like a really long time because defamation, libel, and slander, if you study about the internet and like cyber reputational war, it's the hardest field of law to be involved in. Litigation is like off the charts. And if somebody slanders you online or defames you on the internet, you're on the equivalent of universal basic income already. That's right. If you have one search result at the top of Google for your name with something that puts you in a bad light, whether it's true or false, your chances of getting work, even as a baggage clerk at Safeway, are just about zero. If you cannot counter online defamation in cyber reputational war, baby, you're toast. You're roast. You're rocket fuel. So, SpaceX uses rocket fuel, okay? You've seen those big rocket ships. They use, like, tons and tons of rocket fuel. Hot, burning stuff. Not a joke. If you put your hand over a candle for 2 seconds, you know that, whatever, 5 tons of rocket fuel burning is not, you know, how do I put this in words? How can you compare the pain of like one minor burn to getting burned in rocket fuel, politics and law, and space travel exploration? Really? I have to pause this because I have to try to put this in terms like so, yeah, rocket fuel, okay? Think of all that rocket fuel loaded into those SpaceX ships and blasting off on charted courses to Mars. And think what happens if you tried to burn Elon Musk and you lost in a really contentious legal battle. Like if you got nailed in a lawsuit, like a really serious lawsuit for trying to violate all of Elon Musk's intellectual property rights and rape him using corruption and falsehoods. What do you think happens to your body, soul, and spirit in the space race? You are thrown into the equivalent of like a nuclear torture reactor, and your body, soul, spirit becomes propulsion technology integrated directly into the brand that conquered you. And that's outer space travel. And if you think any differently, you're not even 1 month old in terms of understanding economics. In fact, you're not even 6 months old in economics. Now, the Proton Mail founder, Andy Yen, had a degree in physics from Harvard and a degree in economics from something like Cal Poly, okay? Physics and economics. What do you think the physics and economics of space travel are? I repeat, the physics of doing things like using gravitational forces of different planets to slingshot your ship around and save fuel when you're facing dangers of getting dragged into like solar vortexes and getting burned alive? What do you think the physics and economics of that are? Do you think it's like just a little baby's game? Like you can just, you know, throw a little $1,000 bribe at it when you're caught violating private email communications concerning space race travel, even when you claim that your company is like a Swiss encrypted protected email system that can't be cracked with any amount of code? What do you think happens when you get caught reading paid clients' emails and freezing them out of their paid accounts for this so-called, so highly encrypted MIT plus CERN email communications technology? What do you think? What do you think the physics and economics of space travel is? Rocket fuel. Body, souls, spirits locked into torture chambers and transmuted into eternal propulsion fuels for the winners in the space race. You know, actual justice is a whole different ballgame. There's a saying, watch stupid games, win stupid prizes. I would like to add something to that. Sorry, the saying is play stupid games, win stupid prizes. What I would like to add to that is watch stupid games, win even stupider prizes. So white trash Americans love to sit around and watch the boob tube and yabber. Did you catch the game? Literally, that guy's like 40 years old, idiotic white trash Americans talking about fucking niggers throwing a ball through a hoop like it's something new. You know, sorry, they're not niggers. They actually may be the masters over people like Mark Zuckerberg in the near future due to artificial intelligence. Nigger means slave. It doesn't necessarily mean black. You can end up a white nigger due to artificial intelligence. Nigger is not necessarily a bad word. Nigger is a neutral word. It just means slave. Somebody who got outmaneuvered in economics and war. Niggers were brought to America because black men in Africa sold them to white slave traders. And that's reality. Like it or not, you fucking SJW, politically correct bums, historical revisionist liars. Yeah, it was other blacks that sold, black men they defeated in battle and taken as slaves were sold to white traders. Artificial intelligence is the third revolution in arms, and the first revolution in arms was Chinese gunpowder brought to Europe by Genghis Khan and the Mongol hordes. But you're not allowed to talk about that in the field of artificial intelligence. Oh, they'll give Elon Musk plenty of publicity when he dishes out a quote about artificial intelligence being way more dangerous than nukes. Or Elon Musk says it's the third revolution in arms. But if you try to talk about history and the first revolution in arms being gunpowder brought to Europe by Genghis Khan and the Mongolians from China, if you try to put artificial intelligence in historical context, you will be banned from websites like The Medium. No one will respond to your email because none of these white trash, subhuman junkie prostitutes for the 400 trillion genders movement want to acknowledge that the stakes, the real stakes in technology, are war, as in death, as in a bullet in the brain when you lose, and horrifying consequences in the afterlife of defeat. Do you think the American Indians are in any sort of paradise after getting wiped out by gunpowder from the first revolution in arms? Have you seen an Indian reservation? Out of the entire continent of America, they scarcely have 100 acres of privacy, and the only businesses they can run are white trash casinos to cater to the gambling industry and the lowest, most basic instincts in men. So this whole myth about the Native Americans being environmentalists, I have my doubts. I think Native Americans were just as brutal in their minds as white colonialists, and they would gladly kill and enslave opposing tribes. You know, a big fat tomahawk right through their scalp really makes their day. You know, just landing that tomahawk thing. You've seen battle scenes, you know, from like that Daniel Day-Lewis movie, The Last of the Mohicans. You know, those guys didn't mess around. They were great horsemen and they could throw the tomahawks. And, you know, this evolved from a long history, including the Mongolian longbow back in the 1200s. The Mongolians would ride around on their Taki ponies, you know, plenty fast. And, you know, they weren't huge like those European steeds. And they did not wear 500 pounds of armor like those chivalrous Christian warriors of Europe. And they could fire those Mongolian longbow arrows and, you know, penetrate the armor and leave them dead for the vultures. And that's kind of how it goes in the tech world, too. As in skulls stacked to the heavens. You've seen pictures of skulls stacked from like Mongolian Middle Ages warfare. And that's what happens for speed and mobility. When you have the speed and mobility and communications strategy to fight against opposing armies and you outnumber them, it stacks their skulls. That's that. The Mongolians would go and they'd grab them and they'd lead out the nobles of the city and, you know, Genghis Khan will give them a lecture about all their gold. Can you eat gold? How much gold do you need? Can you eat gold? You should have spent some money and fortified your position. Now they get beheaded, and that's that. So, yeah, software business, just because it's called software doesn't mean it's not as hard as Middle Ages warfare. As in, like, cauldrons of boiling oil being poured on people trying to invade and violate your castle, which is what those people at Proton Mail are doing, violating your private email communications for financial exploitation. Anyway, that's all for this audio to the Stanford community. And I'm doing this specifically to Stanford because I'm also on the West Coast. I grew up around Cal. I'm definitely familiar with the Bay Area and the political scene and the educational system. And I know that people look up to you at Stanford for the prestige of going to that university. I'm not really giving any judgments on Stanford. I've never been inside of there. But I know that Elon Musk, if I recall correctly, he went there for like 2 days before bouncing out and getting into technology. Anyway, stay tuned.